Hello. The following episode of Pod Pals was recorded prior to the recent realignment of our standards and practices. It may contain some material that is seen as insensitive and wrong in today's world. Various parts of the episode have been removed to remain in line with our new ethos. We have inserted music into these spots to maintain a structural balance to the episode. So without further ado, welcome back to Pod Pals.
We have reports from Paris that Diana, Princess of Wales, has been killed in a car.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Pod Pals, your perfectly cromulent Simpsons podcast. This week, we will be reviewing Bart's Dog Gets an F, directed by Jim Reardon and written by John Vitti, airing on the 7th of March, 1991. But before we get into all of that, I would like to introduce you to somebody who desperately needs some toilet training. Anth, how are you?
Dad, it's happened again.
Oh, they tell you, no, at the minute, listeners, we've got Anth in three nappies all at once, and he's still coming through them. That's how big and horrible his stools are.
To be fair, I do consume an unholy amount of iron. I think that's probably what it is.
I like to think your poos look like the cake that Bruce eats on Matilda.
I mean, it does have sweat and blood in it. So.
and broken glass. No, I mean, toilet humor aside, are you okay?
I'm doing all right, mate. Just plodding on.
You know, as you do. As you do. We're here for Bart's Dog Gets an F. What's the initial thoughts before we review?
I think I said last week, I think it's really sad, this one. Like, I'm a proper sucker for, like, animals.
And yeah, totally.
Just as Santa's little helper as well. I think he's drawn in, like, such a way, just this, like, lovable little, it's his big eyes, isn't it? And you just can't help but feel sorry for him.
He's trying as well, isn't he? He knows that he's, like, naughty, but it's almost as if he's got ADHD or something. Like, yeah. He can't not behave badly, because it's just the way he's programmed.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's sort of, him and Bart are so, like, well-suited, because we've said in, obviously, previous episodes, like, Bart and his naughty behaviour, like, knowing what we know now, like, he probably just does have ADHD, doesn't he? So
yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, there's sort of, oh, can you hear my dog barking? That's ironic.
Dan, you don't have a dog. You've never had a dog.
What?
Let the Amazon delivery man go, Dan.
pull the bite in his trouser leg. I'm on all fours and now, Dan.
Have you seen that fella in, I think it's Japan. I mean, of course it's Japan, where he's paid, like, I think it's about 300,000 or something to look like a border collie.
Yes, I have seen him. Mine, but it's fantastic. It's brilliant, though, isn't it?
It's not fantastic, though, is it? I mean, it's just...
Look, I put my heart and soul into that suit.
Do you know what I don't get about those ones, though? Like, not just him, but like, there was that guy a couple of years ago who'd spent about 400 grand at, like, David Beckham, and he just looked fuck all like David Beckham.
Yes, yeah, he just.
Surely, you've spent £400,000. Surely, by the time you got to, like, £6,000, you realised it wasn't working out.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, I don't get these absolute freaks who spend exorbitant amount of cash. And, you know, these people are taking loans out and stuff to make themselves look like their idols. Like, hey, oh, I want to look like Barbie because I've seen the movie. Oh, like, David Beckham is another one. Like, honestly, what are you doing with your lives, man? Come on.
Yeah. Anyway, how did that Nelson Mandela treatment go, Dan?
I feel fantastic.
I love you, the 1920s gangster. fantastic, see?
The thing is about apartheid, see? The long walk to freedom, see? Stupid, so stupid. Would you like some fun? Oh, Ken, they're doing Mandela tonight. Would you like some fun facts, Anthony, before we get into it?
Have you not done as a question?
Oh, hell's bells. Yes, I've got to go 1 second. I just got a fountain pen when I left my old job, you know, so I write everything down with the fountain pen now, so it makes us feel posh.
I think your walls, like in your house, are just full of conspiracy theories.
have you seen the Family Guy episode where Peter's writing with a quill and he's going, "Oh, my dearest bequest, I hope that our journey," and he dip, 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 but he's like dipping his quill in the ink. That's what I do. dip, dip, dip. Right, okay, yes, Simpsons question. Right, Anthony, you're in Springfield, all right? You're wandering down the street and you think, "Oh, I'm a little bit hungry." Which eatery in Springfield are you going to? Now, bear in mind, we got Uncle Moe's Family Feedback. Ooh. We got the Frying Dutchman. We've got Krusty Burger, obviously. Where are you going?
Oh, that is a tough one. Do you know what? It's actually opened up a bit of a sore subject for me, this, because when I went to Simpsons World at Universal, mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to get a Krusty Burger or anything. And
I got one straight away. I was like, as soon as I seen Krusty Burger, I was like, right, come on in. Like waiting in the line for about 3.5 hours.
What was it like?
Terrible.
Yeah. Well, I had a pint at Moe's and it just tasted like one of the ones you get at like the match. Like the football.
I remember you saying that actually. Like as much fizz in it as just like a fart. Just nothing. Well, actually, I tell a lie, you know, the burger was all right, but I did get a Flamin' Moe, and I'll send you the photo of the Flamin' Moe, because funny enough, I've just seen it today, actually, and it's like, obviously, it's bright orange, and they put, like, dry ice in the top, so orange. Obviously, it was, like, bright orange, but yeah, I think you can choose
purple, though, innit?
Yeah, but you can choose a flavour. I didn't want grape. What's wrong with you?
That's not a Flamin' Moe, is it?
Mr.
purple.
Fucking trading standards.
No, to be fair, I went to the Star Wars bit, and there's like a drink in Star Wars, which is essentially just blue milk. And I went to the thing, and I was like, "Can I have a blue milk, please?" And he was like, "Yeah, what color?" And I was like, blue, you see. Because then it wouldn't be blue milk, would it?
Now you look out the back, just Papa Smurf just pissing in cups. Oh, I'll get the blue milk. I don't know why it was Mickey Mouse.
Because he owns everything now, Dan. It's
that's true, actually. Yeah, that is true, actually.
What eatery would I like to... I feel like Luigi's
is quite good shout. Nice. Good shout.
Because I like Italian.
Is it? I only call you a scammer compared to Anthony from Pod Pals.
Hey, it's the ugly kid.
Oh, God. So are you... Me, right, so mine isn't actually an eatery, but my answer would be, do you know early on, it's the Leftorium where Ned has a family barbecue and he's making burgers. Mm-hmm. Those burgers where Homer and Santa's little helper are hanging out the windows, those burgers to me were just like, whoa, they so succulent. Like, so a Ned Flanders burger is what I would want.
Yeah, I know what you mean. They do look immense. To be honest, I was about to have a go at you then, because I thought you were going to do that thing that you always do, where you ask me a question and then answer an entirely different question.
So in answer to where I would eat in Springfield, Lance, is I would have to say that I fancy the Labour Party for the next general election. I just don't think the Lib Dems have got the gains and the Conservatives, or they've thrown it away. 88-seat majority. So how about some fun facts then?
Yeah, go on. Let's wash down my Luigi's with some fun facts.
Yes. Now, these, I think I said last week that the sad fun facts, I'd like to sort, I'll half retract that. See what you think. So, the voice of the dog trainer, it's Tracy Ullman.
Right. Well, I thought what you were going to say there is that the dog trainer is based on Margaret Thatcher.
I was getting there.
Oh,
I was
sorry.
Getting there.
Right. Well, I'm sorry.
I was getting there. No, don't. We're not going to do it again. But before we get there, Matt Groening had asked Tracy Ullman to make an appearance previously, but she was always too busy with our own show. However, when she got cancelled, she agreed to appear. And that made me think of Mr. Burns say, "So, come crawling back, eh?"
I wonder what she thinks, though, because... I mean, I feel like Tracy Ullman's not that famous outside of America.
No, she's not. I have no idea who she is, really.
Yeah.
I know her because I know about the history of the Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What I mean, she basically gave them the start and they've just gone and left her in the dirt, basically, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly, yeah. But to be fair to Matt Groening, he's asked her to appear and she wasn't interested. She said, I'm too busy, man. Oh, bollocks to you then. That's how I would say it. Anyway, I'd be very bitter about it.
Yeah, I'd write a, like, a terrible character, me.
Yeah, well,
one that would like put a wrecker personally. Like, I'd be like, okay, so we've got an idea. You're going to be a.
Speaking of terrible characters, like you said earlier, the Dog Trainer is a parody of Margaret Thatcher. Obviously, the way she acts, the way she looks, Thatcher all over. Cruel, vicious, horrible.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's just me northeast upbringing, but every time she was talking, I was like, I fucking hate you.
I didn't like that the way she talked was, it's as if her front teeth were over her bottom lip.
Yeah, like she had false ones, but they weren't quite like glued in. Like the skin wasn't quite as secure as it should have
been. Yes, they were like turkey dentures.
Yeah, I remember the day she died, I remember I was in university. I remember I'd gone into some lecture or something and someone was like, oh, have you heard Maggie Thatcher's died? And I was like, oh.
And so I think they've got it right as well, because there's I do love when she's like demonstrating the choke chain. She get, you offer a simple request, lie down.
It's so funny. I love it. Is my dog dead, ma'am? Oh, you'd be surprised how many times I'm asked that.
She's good, isn't she? See, I mean, she's horrible, obviously, but undeniably funny. The last fun fact is Dr. Hibbert, when Marge rings about Lisa's mumps, his home is a reference to Bill Cosby's home.
Yes, I've got in my notes here, he's wearing a Bill Cosby jumper.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And
sorry, I've proper ruined your fun facts this week. I'm really
sorry. Yeah, I've just threw me right into the bus. I just want to make clear that the fun fact is my section. So
only Dan may do the fun facts.
Sit perfectly still. yes, I thought they were quite interesting, actually, particularly the Tracy Ullman one that like it kind of went full circle.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know about Tracy. I knew about the other ones, which is why I said them before you did. But the Tracy one, I didn't know that one.
That's why you stepped on me toes so frequently. So, how about the plot, Anthony? Should we dive on in? I mean, I'm looking at the time. Like, last week, I remember sitting, and I think the episode got to about 50 minutes, and I was like, God, what have we talked about? Like, wait, the listeners have been for a real treat. The ears are going to bleed.
Turns out they weren't in for a real treat, though, were they?
Awful. Awful episode. Terrible.
Getting worse.
The plot. Now, Lisa, she wakes up with the mum still desperate to go to school. As we know, Bart doesn't believe her. She's fake and yada, yada, yada. Homer, he's sent out to buy Lisa some magazines. What was the name of the magazine? Because it's all about Corey.
Oh, I only watched it yesterday. It was Corey Dream or something. Corey Teen. And Coming with Corey, I believe, was the third one.
Was that what the third one was called?
No, our dad. No, of course.
I was going to say.
You flicking through your notes.
Rapidly check. What can't it be?
I don't think that's right, you know.
We've lied to the listeners. Homer, whilst he's out buying Lisa some magazines, he's had a conversation with Ned earlier in the day and seen Ned's $150 shoes, the Assassins. $125. Why have I written $150? $125. Anyway, he sees them in the shop window and decides to treat himself on Flanders' advice. Have you ever paid that much for a pair of shoes?
Not for a pair of shoes. But have I ever told
for a leather jacket?
I like how you knew where I was going.
Tell the listeners.
Have I told it on air before? I don't think I have.
I don't think so. No, it's also my brother's favourite story. So
it just sums me up as a person in the world of like business and common sense. It just sums me up. Yeah. So I was meant to be going on a night out, and it was back in, I used to always wear leather jackets. I don't wear them so much now, ever since they made us bankrupt.
You used to cut about like Steve McDonald.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like Steve McQueen there, someone you'd kill, and then I'd it's the guy from Curry.
It's the guy who tries to attack me from Curry.
So I really wanted a leather jacket. I fancy a new one. I remember looking all over. I looked online, couldn't find any. And I went to the Metro Centre which I believe is still the second largest shopping mall in Europe. So I was thinking, well, if you can't find one there, you're not going to find one. Looked in all the shops, couldn't find any. Get stressed. I remember, and it was like, do you know the bit on the Halloween episode where Homer gets the monkey's paw? And that little merchant stall just appears in front of him out of nowhere.
You'll be sorry.
Well, I literally, there was like a gust of wind, and I looked up, and there was just this massive shop in front of us, like something off the fucking Twilight Zone. It just said Demure Leather Emporium. So I was like, right, here we go. All my dreams have come true here. Walked in straight away. This Italian guy, I must have been his first customer in about 12 years. Straight away, hello, mate, what are you looking for? I was like, oh, just a casual leather jacket, really, mate. Something I can wear, like, both inside and outside. And he was like, oh, I've got just the thing. And he was like, he went straight to the shelf, took off about 10 jackets straight away, and was like, right, we're going to try these on. He was like, take off your coat. I was like, right. He was like, take off your jeans. I was like, okay.
Get on all fours and spread them.
No, not really. So yeah, I tried on all these leather jackets, found one I liked, went to pay for it, and I remember as I was walking up to the counter, I was like, this leather jacket doesn't have a price tag on it. How very odd.
Right? Oh, the tear just signing it.
Put a red flag now, I think. So I thought, no, I'll soldier through. And then As I was like getting my card out and that, and he was like putting the sale through, he was like smiling, and he was like, "Payday, is it?" And I was like, no, I just fancied a leather jacket. And then he was like, oh, okay, paid him, gave us me receipt, gave us the bag. I walked out the shop, and I was just thinking, I wonder why he assumed it was payday for me to make this purchase. The alarm bell started to go off in my head by this point. So I just looked in the bag. And it was basically like one of the old timey receipts. Like, it wasn't even like a printed receipt. He'd like written the receipt out by hand. The price was 427 quid. And I've never felt more sick. Like, when I tell people that story, they just go like, Anth, well, why didn't you just go back and return it? I was like, I don't know why I didn't do that.
Because the shop disappeared when I turned around.
Exactly. Yeah, the shop was gone.
It was just like a whirl of dust. It wasn't there.
It was all boarded up with like wooden boards, and it had like condemned 1925.
Oh dear! Do you still have that jacket?
Oh, I've decided I'm going to get buried in it. It's the only way to get my money's worth.
You will not give it up for nothing. You grip it out of the jacket like Jebediah Springfield's tongue. Oh, there it is, the demure leather. Whenever I walk past that shop in the metro, I always think to myself, he's a fucking idiot.
That shop open. No one's ever been in since
right,
I have.
That's right. He stretched that 427 quid out for years. To be fair, though, with a shop like that, you only have to make one sale a year.
You only need one fucking moron to walk past and your quid's in, aren't you?
I mean, that demure, he probably sent that 427 quid back to his elderly mother in Sicily.
The thing is as well, another thing that's really like wrangled on us all these years is because it was like a handwritten receipt. Did he just make that price up? Did he just write that down himself?
Probably.
I feel like he did.
Oh god. Anyway, your £427 demure leather was nothing compared to Homer's $125 assassins.
I did like the bit when Homer's trying to justify his purchase, 125 quid, and Marge is like, I thought we agreed to consult each other before any large purposes, and Homer's just like, oh, come on, Marge, you bought all those smoke detectors and we haven't had a single fire.
It's very funny. Very funny. Sandra's little helper has been on a bit of a chaotic spree in the house, let's call it, being a little bit naughty. And he promptly destroys Homer's assassins. He also destroys the patchwork quilt that Marge and Lisa have been working on. Now, this quilt's been passed through Marge's family for generations and generations. They've all added their own little piece of history to it, and Santa's little helper chews it apart, which prompts Marge and Homer to come to the decision to get rid of Santa's little helper. Now, I know he's being naughty and stuff, but you couldn't, like, honestly, when you be like me, Amp, we're both really soft on animals. To think that somebody would just get rid of a dog because, oh, it barks all the time, it chews things. That's what dogs do, like.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that for the most part. But what I will say is, when he eats that cookie, like, I thought to myself, I was like, it's a bit of an overreaction. But then I was like, well, no, if I bought a massive Millie's cookie and then a dog had ate it, I'd fucking...
Hey, how would you feel if a dog ate your £427 jacket? How would you feel then? Like the dog shitting out of your leather the next year.
Me trying to piece it all together.
Like, instead of like those, what is it, where people get felt like elbow patches, yours is just elbow patches of dog poo.
I've got a question I had for you, Dan, when I was watching this, because like, although we're saying we both love dogs and that, like, I've never actually owned a dog, but I was curious to know, what's the worst, I know you said you'd never give your dog away, no matter what they did, but what's the worst thing that any of your dogs have ever done, would you say?
there's a few, to be honest.
Are they the sort of things you can see over a podcast?
Yes and no. I mean, so he's one. Me and the missus, we were on our way on holidays before our son was born. So we were going down tenting at a caravan site down in York. Now, we stopped to go outdoors on the way down to get a few little supplies. We'll go outdoors. Oh, we welcome dogs. Oh, great. We can bring our little Jack Russell in. So we took him in. And he was sort of having a bit sniff around, you know, walking around, going to school. And the shop was really busy, right? And no word of a lie, he stopped point blank in the middle of the shop, started having a shit.
I love how it's not even a piss. Like, a piss is terrible, but a shit. No, so a piss is natural, but a shit's just disrespect.
Exactly. So it gets better. My missus went bright red. Luckily, it was the time of COVID, so we had masks on, so nobody could see me red face, but me missus scarpered, and I don't get embarrassed ever, really. But this mortified us because people were watching and stuff. So the stool, wasn't a hard stool, if you understand my meaning. It was somewhat loose. Now, not only did Go Outdoors sort of advertise dogs are welcome, well, it's carpeted throughout, which was a problem. So, so the loose stool was on the carpet, and I had counted one dog poo bag left in the little holder. So I picked up what I could, but by this point it was like, well, that's diarrhea. I can't pick up diarrhea. So I put the dog poo bag over my hand, and I was trying to like wipe the carpet with it to get it off. This woman, when she went to Go Outdoors, she walked past, right? She looked at us and she shook her head at us. And I said to her, what are you shaking your head for? Dogs are allowed in. Like, so to me, like, that's just one of them awful things that happens, but I had to sort of scamper out of Go Outdoors, leaving like a dog poo stain on the carpet. And if it wasn't for that one worker who gave us a filthy look, I would have gone and said, look, mate, have you got like a flannel and a bit of like, and I'll wash the carpet, not a problem. I'm mortified, I'll do that. But when she did that, I thought, I hope it's you that's cleaning that carpet.
I love how you try to justify everyone while you let dogs in. It's like, aye, but they don't have them shit in the carpet, Dan.
Should see my house. We've got a dog poo tree.
Like, it's somehow her fault where she's like...
Honestly, I like to say, if you know me, I don't get embarrassed, really. I don't, but that was like... I was mortified then.
That sounds like a struggle. That
was a lot. Because, like, it's like, fair enough, she walked past and shook her head, but the shop was busy. Like, there was loads of people watching. People were laughing at us and that.
What I like to think is there have been people, like, just enjoying themselves in the shop. Uh-huh. And they're just being the overwhelming aroma of shit.
That's right. I was just going to say it.
Filling the air.
Not to mention it stunk. Like, people have been coming looking for the disposable barbecues and like the water tanks and stuff, and it was just me smearing diarrhea all over the carpet.
Well, I like to think is as well, like, you'd have obviously just gone and gone about your day. I can guarantee if you'd have like checked their Facebook and now his time would have been like, due to unforeseen circumstances, we've got to close for the day.
There's a biohazard team in now. So yes, that's me most embarrassing moment.
I'm glad I asked that question. That was well worth it.
It was mortifying. Bart and Lisa, prompted by Homer and Marge, say, reveal that they're going to get rid of Santa's little helper. They promise to train him so that they can keep him. Homer, his first, oh, no, you can't. Wait, he's gone. But Bart and Lisa promise they will look after him. They will make him the best dog ever. Homer relinquishes and says, okay, if he can pass his doggy exam at the training school, he can keep him. So the dog trainer, who, as we know, is based on Margaret Thatcher. She wants Bart to use a choke chain on Santa's little helper, but he's reluctant. This results in Santa's little helper unable to master basic commands. Now, these choke chains exist, you know. I think they were a thing in the 90s and the noughties, but I think they're kind of, I think they've been made illegal now. It was the same like the electric shock collars and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, don't get us wrong, that was a method of like training your dog. Did you notice when he first goes to the obedience school, did you notice Shock was in the queue?
No, I didn't actually.
Yeah, Jacques in the queue with a little poodle.
Ah, because he's French.
Yeah, he's saying obviously they must own poodles. Also, when they're looking at the different obedience skills in Springfield, I laughed at some of the ones in the phone book where there's one, I think it's just called East Side Reform, but it's got like a photo of like a dog in a leather jacket and it's smoking up against a brick wall.
470 pound jacket.
475 quid from Demure.
It's having a poo on the carpet.
Then the other one which made us a bit sad, it was Professor Von Bowser's sanatorium for dogs.
Yeah. I mean, you look at sort of Pavlov's dogs and that, we're not going to get into any animal cruelty stories, but like dogs have been treated badly over the years. I mean, the Russians fired a fucking dog up into space, for goodness sake.
That, you know, is, I mean? Don't, I'm being serious, don't go into that, because that genuinely just gets upset. Like,
it's awful. So you wouldn't use the choke chain then?
No. Just me hands.
I prefer to see the like the fear in people's eyes when I'm choking them. Don't get that with choke chain. So Bill Barth, thinking it's going to be the last time together, he's out in the garden with Santa's little helper, begging him just to sit, just please listen to us, please. So the plane, and Lisa comes out, and well, he says, look, Bart, the gentle reinforcement, and in the conversation Santa's little helper recognizes the word sit, and he does it. He understands Bart's commands and he passes the obedience school, much to Homer's chagrin. Is chagrin, how do you pronounce it? So is a chagrin a chagrin?
It's pronounced char-grilled, Dan. It's a barbecue term.
You know what I mean, you dick. Char-grilled. Annoyance or distress at having failed or been humiliated. Listen, I'm even going to play it on Google pronunciations.
Chagrin.
Much to Homer's.
Harry Potter spell.
Like you're just convulsing now.
It cleans up your dog shit from the carpet.
Wingardium Levy Leather. I don't know. That's you every morning getting the leather jacket floating towards you. You know the dream when they come through the window.
Very convenient, though, isn't it, that he manages to suddenly learn all those commands the night before.
Well, like we see, Arthur, it's almost as if it's just a plot purely derived for entertainment.
Yeah, I want to see the harrowing alternate ending where they have to give Sideshow Bob. So that's a little helper away.
Well, look what happened when Mr. Burns got rid of the puppies.
Yeah. Well, did you not notice when Homer's like, I think he's trying to broker a deal to sell them? Mm-hmm. And that guy turns up and just puts his hand up his ass.
That is how you sort of decipher whether or not something is worth buying or not. You must violate it.
I'll remember that next time I'm going to buy a leather jacket.
Just putting your hand. So Lisa marks the occasion by starting a new quilt to replace the one that Santa's little helper has destroyed. Of course, she knits the perfect picture of Santa's little helper destroying the quilt. What do you think, Ant? Sad episode, no doubt, but it is a sort of a nice ending.
A nice ending, isn't it? Because you're like buzzing for Santa's little helper, aren't you?
Yeah, and you feel so sorry for him throughout as well, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, what I do think goes under the radar a lot in this episode is how absolutely fucking tremendous Lisa's sewing skills are.
Didn't take how long, did it?
Nah, I mean, can you sew?
No.
Nah. Do you remember when, like, you would learn at school?
Mrs. Finley, I remember.
I'm sure I just was, like, told that I didn't have to bother coming to those classes anymore. Just like, you don't bother.
just go sit under that tree.
Another question I've got for you. What would, if you had a family patch like that, what would be on your patch?
It's a good question. Probably Simpsons or something, I would imagine.
Yeah, mine would be the Pod Pals logo and a Confederate flag.
All right. Like, but instead of mine in your heads, it's just Trump's.
Oh, I saw a t-shirt in America and it was don't blame me, I voted for Trump, and I was so tempted to get it.
I mean, to be fair, I would wear a Make America Great Again cap just for the kicks, like purely to like the irony of it. I mean, I've got a pair of fish flops that I wear at the minute that my sister-in-law got us at Christmas one year on my birthday, whatever it was, and they are quite literally very realistic looking fish, but the flip flops. And
oh, I think I've seen it.
I'm not allowed to wear them though. So I wear Crocs generally all the time, but I put on me fish flops a couple of days ago. And me missus literally went, "Please no." And I know you put them on for a reaction. Well, you've got it. Please don't wear them.
You've got it, Daniel. And I'll love you less. Please
get off. Yeah. Oh, look at me, fresh flops.
As you go and change back into your Dwayne the Croc Johnsons.
Yeah, literally.
Does have a pair of Crocs with Dwayne Johnson's face on the end.
Yes, I do. Dwayne the Croc Johnson. And what else have I got?
You've got a lot of novelty shit, you have noticed. All the photos you post, you're in like a fucking... You're always in that fucking Bobby Boucher Waterboy thing.
Oh, love that. Love that. Love that. I've also got a Dwayne the Cock Johnson, so it's a 3D printed penis. Incredibly realistic, but instead of having the head of the penis, it has Dwayne Johnson's head.
And tell the listeners who got you that.
My brother. Happy birthday to me.
Go on, Dan, let's see you use it. Please.
Yeah, look, we'll wrap up there. Any closing thoughts on the episode, Anth?
This one, like I said, because I'm such a sucker for animals, it really used to like depress us as a kid. Like that bit where mm-hmm. Bart like nearly in tears when he's at the thought of giving Santa's little helper away. Like I was, mm-hmm. I look back now, right? And because I feel like I say this every week, and I'm like, I used to cry at this when I was a kid. I was a very emotional kid, considering mm-hmm. like now I don't have tear ducts. But like back then, it didn't take me off.
I don't have tear ducts.
I'm like, incapable of feeling me.
Imagine the type of injury you would have needed to have for your tear ducts not to work anymore. Like pure impact to your eyeballs.
It's because I sleep with my contact lenses in.
That would do it. Like
I'm meant to take out on a nightly basis. And I think you've literally
done that since you were about 15-year-old. I don't remember you getting them. I was like, Anthony, not take them out tonight? No.
Well, because I remember the fetters, this whole thing, they were like, oh, if you sleep with them in mind, your eyes will get really dry and you'll go blind. And I remember they got to me and I was like, oh, I better make sure I don't do that. And then I think I'd been out somewhere and I actually forgot to take them out and I slept with them in. And I was like, no, this is fine. I wonder what happens if I just keep doing this.
Just keep putting a pair on top one and on top of another one and top of another one.
Well, I'll tell you what I did do. You'll know this as well, but when I first got them in, I was about 17, actually, when I got them in, and I went to Greece. And I remember we'd been out in the morning, and I remember going back to like, the hotel room. I was like, oh, my eyes are a bit sore. I'm going to take my contact lenses out. So I took the left one out, absolutely fine, no bother. Went to take the right one out, and I just couldn't get it. So I was clawing away, getting myself stressed, thinking it's like gone behind my eye or something's happened. Like, I'm going to have to go to fucking Greek hospital. God knows what that'll be like.
So, you can only imagine.
You're panicking. Finally, after about 30 minutes of like just clawing at my own retina, I thought, have I even got this contact lens in? Is it not like fell out earlier on in the day? So I put my glasses on because I was thinking, well, if it's still in, me vision will be blurred in this eye. Mm-hmm. Put my glasses on, perfect 20/20 vision.
There you go. But I hadn't had
the time. I was just clawing away at my own eyeball.
Before I got my eyes lasered, I'd literally done the same thing, because once they fall off your pupil, they can be quite hard to find, can't they?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving away from orthodontic help.
Optic surgery.
What is it? Is it orthodontic? That's gum. That's teeth in it. So what was it? Optology. Moving away from optology. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Pod Pals. We did mention last week that a few people have asked, can they donate the show because we don't have a Patreon, we don't use adverts, blah, blah, blah. We have signed up to Buy Me a Coffee, which you can just chuck us a donation of as little or as much as you like. It's over on buymeacoffee.com/podpalspodcast. No pressure whatsoever. We don't really care. But if anything does go towards it, we'll use it to fund sort of the podcast, whether it be the subscription or the equipment or getting Anth that anal hopper operation he badly needs to remove.
I just want to be able to sit down. That's all I want.
To remove the fist of the leather jacket salesman. But in the meantime, do join us again next week. Leave us a review on all the places you get them, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, yada, yada, yada. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, blah, 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 blah. We'll be back next week to review another episode of The Simpsons that I don't have written down.
It is, I don't know what the name is, but it's the one where Grandpa meets that woman.
Oh, yes, I will tell you, actually.
Something old something. Old money. Old money.
Well done. Yes, it is old money. Well yes. Done. Well done.
You always get the sad death ones, me.
Well, it's like your personality, isn't it? I suppose. Okay. Thank you, everybody. We will see you again next week. Ta-ta.
Goodbye.